On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him and with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, when I was in junior high school, my best friend Tyler, whom I know some of you know, he's now pastor in the Dells, Oregon. Well, he and his dad, John, took me up to a church camp near Lake Mille Lacs in Minnesota called Camp Onamia for a work weekend. And I have vivid memories of our drive up there as we traveled, because we traveled through a great Minnesota storm. We passed, in fact, it was black and green. There was hail, there was wind, there was rain. I remember passing underneath one of the major overpasses, and where several cars, because it was raining so hard, they pulled over, and they were up. Several of the people were up kind of towards the bottom of the bridge, and they were staring at something. And John, Tyler's dad, was kind of like, "Well, I think it's safe. Let's keep on going." So we kept on going, and we started listening to the radio, where we started to hear that there was a tornado warning in the area that we were passing through. And I found myself getting really anxious, and I started to breathe faster and sweat as I stared into the blackness of this storm, hoping the tornado wasn't coming up the highway. Well, sure enough, we passed through the rain part of the storm, and then Tyler saw something from out of the left side of the car. It was a tornado. And I had never seen a tornado in real life before. I've actually never seen one since. And we were about probably a mile away from this funnel, close enough for John's comfort that we pulled over immediately and began to watch what it did. It was on course to cross the highway right in front of us. And as it kind of started to cross the highway, I remember I could see vividly the bits of trees and debris. It was churning around in its gray and black funnel. And my fear, of course, you could probably imagine, elevated considerably as I, my junior high self, began to imagine and think to myself, you know, what happens if this thing changes course and comes right at us? What if we need to take cover? Or how secure are these, like, little flimsy tin sheds over here? Like, will they be blown apart? And I remember I was so amped up, I began to shake. Well, the tornado did not come straight for us, thank God. As soon as it crossed the highway, it began to weaken and dissipate. And when the coast was clear, we started to drive again. And when we crossed the highway at the point where the tornado had crossed, we could see the fallen trees and the path of the tornado. If any of you have seen a tornado before, it's the weirdest thing to see a tornado path that goes through. This was one of the few times, I think, in my life where I can maybe relate to the fear level of the disciples in our gospel story today. Maybe you have a similar story of a tornado or of an earthquake or something natural like that. They were filled with great fear and awe. And it needs to be pointed out, I think, that these disciples were not just afraid, right? In fact, Mark, the gospel writer, puts the word fear, in Greek that's phobon, he puts it actually twice in the sentence. So it could literally be translated as the disciples feared with fear, or feared with great fear. Either way, the point comes across, I think. This fear for the disciples was an intense type of fear. But was it a bad kind of fear? We spent a lot of last week's sermon talking about what happens when fear completely takes over in your life and blocks you from being able to trust beyond yourself. Well, this week I've been pondering, of course, this text again, and I've been pondering on the kind of fear that these disciples obviously experienced when they feared a great fear. Does this fear still exist in our present day today? You know, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously said in his speech following the bombing of Pearl Harbor, "The only thing we have to fear is
fear itself."
That's right. And this is an incredible statement that still resonates, I think, a lot with me, perhaps with you. But is fear, as we talked about in the children's sermon, is fear just one thing? Dr. Carl Ebrecht, an author and consultant for health and business management, has come up with 5 types of fear that we all share. The first type, he says, is fear of extinction, the fear of annihilation or ceasing to exist. The second fear, he says, is fear of mutilation, the fear of losing a body part or precious bodily structure, the thought of having one's body's boundaries invaded. Or 3, the fear of loss of autonomy, the fear of being immobilized, paralyzed, restricted, enveloped, overwhelmed. In physical form, it's commonly known as claustrophobia, but it also extends to our social interactions and relationships, I think, as well. Or fear number 4, fear of separation, the fear of abandonment, rejection, loss of connectedness, of becoming a non-person. And number 5, Dr. Albrecht says, fear of the ego death, he calls it. The fear of humiliation, shame, or any other mechanism of profound self-disapproval that threatens the loss of the integrity of the self. Well, Dr. Albrecht, in his books, then, goes on to give advice on how we can mitigate these 5 fears in our daily lives and, of course, be more successful. And though I appreciate this interesting breakdown of fear, I'm happy to send these 5 fears to you if you are interested. And I think I would agree with Dr. Albrecht that, you know, perhaps the disciples felt a combination of some of these fears in the storm with Jesus. I believe I'm going to say that there was a 6th type of fear. And now, I'm no doctorate or PhD in this, so I'm just going to go out on a limb here, so just hold tight. But I'm going to say that a 6th type of fear that is not mentioned in Dr. Albrecht's 5 fears that we all share is a fear of God. Or maybe to borrow from our New Revised Standard Version translation, I know I critique this translation quite a lot, but here I actually really like it because it goes in the direction that I think the disciples were feeling, and that is an awe fear, right? The fear that I think the disciples were wrestling with most was the type of fear that comes up when one thinks that you realize that you are not in control. When you are not at the top of the food chain, when there are things that seem to be beyond our limit of comprehension and strength. It's that type of fear that you get when you see videos, or God forbid you're there, when the tsunami waves go and suck up entire villages in Japan, or when you see a grizzly bear on the hiking trail, or when the doctors say, "We don't know what's wrong with you." It's the type of fear that kind of puts you in your place. And this, I think, is the type of fear that I believe the disciples of Jesus knew more intimately than we do today. Awe fear was a fact of life for the people of the first century in Jesus' time. In fact, this is one of the big reasons why having a God for protection and safety from utter chaos was so important. And today, as our own Dan Spencer so eloquently explained in his lectures up at Holden Village this summer, humanity can launch satellites into Mars, can cure once incurable diseases, can communicate and surf the internet on handheld devices, and can even stare back into time using huge telescopes and equipment created by our own minds. We live in a technological world in many ways where, as the 1966 Time magazine cover states, God is dead in some ways. And I think along with that, the fear of God can be seen as dead. So once again, I appreciate Dr. Albrecht's analysis of these types of fear, but I disagree, actually, with what we need to overcome all of these fears, because I think we need more awe fear in our lives. Many of you know that Abby works for a nonprofit called Climate Smart Missoula, which is a nonprofit that works hard at empowering our local communities and mitigating the effects of climate change in our area. And they do many things, but one of the things that Climate Smart Missoula does is host monthly conversations focused on specific topics. They call them monthly meetups at Imagination Brewery. Talk to Abby if you want to go to one of these. I find them fascinating. And I remember attending one of these monthly meetups last year that focused on agriculture and farming and how farming and agriculture is going to change as climate change continues in our valleys here. And I remember one of the farmers, who is a farmer in just south of the Missoula Valley, who was part of this conversation. He said something that I remember I have held on to for quite a while. He said, "You know, the good farmers and ranchers are the ones who wake up every morning scared out of their bleeping minds, but who instead of being paralyzed by that fear, are energized to care for and grow something amazing." And then he went on to say, "You know, we don't need as many of the technological farmers that it's like programming a computer. What we need more of are the fearful farmers and ranchers. The farmers and ranchers who," he said, "are scared into respecting the sacred systems of the earth." Scared into respecting the sacred systems of the earth. Who then is this, the disciples say, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This, it seems, is when the disciples were, too, scared into respecting their place of not having control of everything. This is when their fear, their awe fear, kicked in and it wouldn't let go. Maybe this is what we need to find more of in our faith at the end of the day. No, not one of the five Dr. Albrecht fears, but a sixth fear. not to be scared out of our minds, but to be scared into respect for our place and time in this creation. Because that fear can make a difference. That fear can move mountains. That fear, I truly believe, is a faithful fear. Amen.